Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
It's a Wednesday. The Cardinals return from the other side of the state. They'll take on the Mets. It'll be Carlos Martinez and Jacob deGrom. And we visit with Derek Gould. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And Lou Fuse, 14 brands, 10 locations. See more at Fuse.com. Well, Derek, what did you take away yesterday out of Jack Flaherty's start? What did you see?
Lots of long at bats, lots of high pitches or high pitch counts, a lot of backwards in pitch counts, 60 plus pitches, and got to a point where they had to weigh his need to get pitches versus how many pitches he was throwing in his inning. So he was not as efficient as they needed, and as a result, you know, his outing was cut short. Not a big deal. I'm not going to derail him as far as being ready for opening day. Still the opening day starter, but, you know, good lesson kind of learned. Maybe a little test of his arm strength, too. I mean, he had to plow through some long innings, only got through three. Struck out the side in one inning to kind of get it right, but, you know, just overall kind of a slog for him.
Junior Fernandez experienced his first real hiccup of this spring.
Yeah, a couple free passes, a base that he didn't need to give up, led to an upside-down score for him. Got a one-run lead to hold and flipped it and lost it. So, his first kind of real speed bump on the way towards making a case for the bullpen. Has really good stuff, still kind of showing that. But, you know, they saw what happens. They saw a guy who still has to kind of sharpen and fine tune before he starts going out there in the high leverage spots. Those extra bases, that's the one thing that can hold a young pitcher back, whether it's back from the majors or back from a prominent role. And it's one of the things that, say, like Giovanni Gallegos didn't do last year, and that's why he had such prominence and hasn't really done much of this spring, and that's why he continues to have such prominence. So, Fernandez following in that route, he just kind of hit a detour against the Red Sox, against the Red Sox replacements, I should say, and, you know, cost him the game. And sort of was probably a learning experience that he'll have to get through. And was removed in the middle of the game or of an inning. That hadn't happened to him here this spring. So, you know, like I said, still is good stuff. But the Cardinals saw what happens when he doesn't have quite a rein on it.
Do you see him making this team? I've kind of done my own, pseudo roster, and I have him in the bullpen. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has stated a case. I think he is not alone in making that decision. What I mean by that is his place on the roster has to do with others. So do you have Kim in the rotation?
I did. I had KK in the rotation. And prior to the injury to Andrew Miller, I had Cabrera and Ponce de Leon and Gomber all kind of fighting for a spot in the pen. But things have changed now with Miller's, availability. Doesn't look like he'll be ready for the opening day, and putting Kim in the rotation, it does change things a little bit in how you look at roster construction.
Sure. I think Ponce has done everything necessary to be on the team.
Agreed.
Almost an ink. And the competition for me then comes down to, where do they think Cecil is? Where do they think Cabrera is? And what's their level of comfort with maybe adding a right-hander? And that would be Fernandez. I think that's where it goes. And it sure seems like it's skewing towards Gomber being the opening day starter in Memphis, the de facto number six guy, and Cabrera having a shot if he can show some command. And then now Reyes is being used in relief, and we know how much of a fan of Reyes Schilt is and how eager he is to try to have him as sort of a force out of the bullpen, a guy who they can call on and grow into roles. That was the thing that they wanted from him last year. And, now he's got health on his side, again, knock on wood. They could be a part of that. So, I think Ponce has put himself above that group, and it's starting to look like, do you go left? Do you go right? And as you kind of sort through it, you realize that Fernandez will probably be the closer in AAA.
Yeah, Reyes has really kind of changed my mind on what may happen. If you would have asked me a week ago, I would have said, no, I don't think he's going to make it. I think there is inconsistencies with what I've seen. But then when I see him close out a game 2 days ago, it makes me change my mind again. And it looks like he's getting sharper as we go along. So that's kind of thrown a new wrinkle into what may happen with this roster.
Yeah, I mean, there's 2 weeks left, and I think, you know, they even could make some calls while they're there in Texas and look at it that way. I think it's coming down to a point, or it's going to come down to a point. It's not there yet, but it's going to come down to a point where they look not only at performance of spring as a guy, but it's going to look at handedness and makeup and how this goes about it. You know, just like who's going to be the multi-inning guy? Well, that would be Ponce right now. But gosh, he's looked pretty effective. Do you want to just stash that as a multi-inning guy, a long reliever, or do you want to have that in a different role? They could look at, you know, with Miller being out and the three batter minimum, maybe some appeal to have a right-hander there as opposed to like a lefty in that spot. So you can a right-hander who can get lefts and rights out. I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways they could go with this. And Reyes has definitely thrown himself into every part of that combination, because you could also, I mean, I don't think they want to go to him as a long reliever right now. They're very aware of his innings, but you could very well see him be that guy who could go out and face lefts and rights. That changeup is absolutely filthy, and, you know, probably still more velocity for him to show too this spring.
Absolutely. Brad Miller made finally a return to the lineup. How did he look yesterday?
Yep. Solid. You know, comes right up, rakes a 2-run single, fine in the field. I mean, he's a ball player.
He's a
pro.
I mean,
yeah. It seems like he doesn't skip a beat.
I hope you know about the Schnucks Rewards app. If for some reason you don't, where have you been? The whole city has been downloading this. If you're a Schnucks Rewards member, you're going to earn points. And the next time you're at Schnucks, you can use those points for money off. Digital coupons on the items you want most. Download the Schnucks Rewards app. Get the app that gets you. Hey, Blues fans, join the party all season long at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill and one of their 11 area locations. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. It is your home for Blues hockey. Remember, if the Blues score 5 any game this season, you get Hot Shots legendary tacos for $1 each the next day. Find a Hot Shots near you at hotshotsnet.com. Proud partner of the St. Louis Blues.
In terms of the coronavirus and how it pertains to Major League Baseball, all professional sports, and limited access with the media, just give me your general thoughts on what happened yesterday for reporters and going forward, how it affects the job and just a general feeling of what's going on with MLB.
Yeah. You know, I mean, experiences may differ based on the city and the size of the media party. We saw throughout social media, different policies, different practices in place with the teams. And that's always been the case. You know, what they've mandated now for people who may not know is that the clubhouse is closed to the media. You know, I think we should do a better job of articulating to fans what that means. It doesn't mean that for years we've been in there with professional athletes coming out, you know, they're coming out of the shower and we're greeting them with questions. No, it's been a long time, if ever, since I've interviewed a player wearing a towel. You know, this is their clubhouse. A lot of times our access is geared toward when they're, you know, getting their work done. Like, for example, at spring training, you know, our access is at a time when a lot of the guys are, say, eating breakfast or doing crossword puzzles or coming in from the cage or putting on gear to go out to the cage. And so it's not a matter of them, you know, they're in their baseball gear, they're in their workout gear, and we're there to have a conversation with them. And it allows for the player to control the circumstances of the interview. And that has real value to them. And that, of course, has real value to us, because it allows for one-on-one conversation. It allows for interaction in that way. We could be here all day as I listed all the stories that just from this spring that I've been able to write because of a conversation in the clubhouse that would probably only happen in the clubhouse. You know, the ability to see Flaherty interact with Zach Thompson, for example, you know, and then talk to both of those guys, that only happens because, you know, professionally and through an agreement with Major League Baseball, baseball writers are allowed to be in the clubhouse and allowed to do our reporting there until this new policy is in place. So I just want to give people kind of a perspective of why it matters. And I've seen a lot of folks dismissive of it. Like, you know, why do you want to be in there when they're showering? Well, we're not. You know, well, why do you want to be in there when they want private time to work on team meetings? Well, we're not. Why do you want to be in there when they want to have private conversations with their teammates? We're not. We're in there when it's a mutually agreed upon time that is open, And they know we're going to be in there. And the purpose of us being in there and them being in there is for interviews. And they get their work done, and we don't, and guys decline interviews all the time, but it allows for them to control the interview, and also speak candidly at times, with the writer, if they've known him for a long time, as opposed to a press conference setting where there is none of that. Everything's on camera. You know this as well as anybody. A lot of fans got frustrated with Mike Matheny because of his post-game press conferences. Well, that's because all of them were on camera. He was always aware that they were being broadcast. Some of his answers would have been different if it wasn't in a press conference setting, and he could take a moment, pause, think through, and talk to writers. And that's what access to the clubhouse allows. So we'll see. They say it's a temporary change. Like I said, different writers had different experiences throughout the league. Our experience with the Cardinals was entirely professional. That it was players, media relations, and manager. They followed the letter of the rule, but were professional enough to understand the spirit of also helping us do our jobs so that we could help facilitate their connection to the fans better.
You can understand a lot of fans curious about London and mm-hmm. what happens with that series with Chicago. Have you gotten any clarity on that?
Clarity as far as where things, not clarity in the yes, no sense, but clarity in the sense that they continue to look at it. And, you know, there's obviously concern and open questions. I think, you know, they'll explore contingencies as well. I think the contingency is the Cardinals get the home game back. That seems to be the logic, and that seems to be how people would explain that is, you know, the Cubs would just come to St. Louis for a weekend instead of London. But there is hope, and that is both hope from players I spoke to today, but also hope from officials that they're able to go there still. I think some of that is, and the players want to go. A couple of the players that I wanted to, that I talked to, they said they want to find a way to be as cautious as possible, as proactive as possible, and not miss London. That from the league and from the team's perspective, I think it more comes from the fact that they hope they go, because then that means that this concern is over, that, you know, the global alarm has subsided, and there's reason, you know, for optimism as far as health, not just of teams and fans and media, but of everyone.
Sure.
So we'll see. They got time on their side. They really, that was something that I was really interested in, Dan, is they really don't need to make a decision, I'm told, for a while, so they can see how this plays out. They also, let's be honest, want to keep the possibility open so tickets still sell, you know? I mean, so there's a lot going on there. I mean, there is a cynicism angle here that, of course, they're not going to call it because they want to go to the last minute because it's a good moneymaker for Major League Baseball and the two teams. But the other part of it is, they have time on their side here for a while. They also have decisions ahead. Facing baseball is the serious decision as to they want to open the season on time. They want to do it with fans in the stands. At what point does the spread get where they have to reconsider those things? So London is a little bit down the checklist for them right now.
It's all aboard the newest restaurant in St. Louis, the Train Shed at Union Station. Perfect place before and after Blues and Cardinal games. Historic St. Louis Union Station is downtown's newest dining destination, with Train Shed's creative pub and the Soda Fountain's modern diner. The Train Shed at Union Station, hair saloon for men. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. Hair saloon for men.
Finally, Carlos Martinez going today, and it's been great. Quiet camp and a really good camp. He looks like a different guy.
He does. Look, physically and performance-wise, everything. He has made good on his word to the Cardinals. He wanted to be a starter. The Cardinals said this is what you have to do to be a starter. And this year, he went and attacked it. A year ago, really was adrift, was not following through, was not in a physical condition, was not, not disciplined on his between start works, all that stuff. And as a result, was not able to maintain the workload of a starter. Completely opposite this season. Looks slimmer, looks more athletic, still has the same stuff, but is able to recover better, good arm strength. There's a lot to like about it. I think you put it well, like a quiet camp, like his lines are quiet. His work is quiet. I don't know. He's not really quiet. He's very effervescent. But I think he is trying to regain something that is important to him, and they are giving him that opportunity as long as he remains disciplined, and he has been.
Derek, thank you. We'll see you at the ballpark today.
I will see you at some ballpark today, yes. Yes, what ballpark is it?
We will be at Roger Dean Stadium. No, we're going to be in New York. We're going to be in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah, see, don't throw me that, man. It's a three-day, two-city road trip, right?
Look, man, I'm just kind of in a fog here. It's rinse and repeat with these games, okay? So get off my back.
Rinse and repeat is my daily regimen now. Rinse and repeat, everybody. Wash those hands.
You got it. Thanks, Derek.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over seven decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today.
Lou Hughes, we are St. Louis.